This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Welcome inside the war zone, the wrestling war zone, that is. JT here with episode number 12 of Wrestling War Zone, a Monday Night Wars retrospective podcast. And joining me, as always, is my partner here on the show, the Jerry Lawler to my Vince McMahon, the Mongo to my Eric Bischoff, the Charlie Min to my Todd Pettengill, Chad Campbell. How are you?
Don West to your Mike Tenay.
That works too. Dapper Don. How are
Hello.
You?
Hello. Fresh off jury duty.
That's right. Is it over?
It is over. Not guilty. So Macho said, not guilty.
That was a quick trial. Only a few days.
Yeah, 3 days. It was a civil lawsuit. Not very interesting case. Pretty cut and dry. The deliberations lasted about 15 minutes shorter than the OJ trial.
And, there you go.
We came to a decision.
Was Saul Goodman the lawyer?
It was pretty close. Definitely a huckster. He felt like an ambulance chaser for sure.
Nice. Not a bit.
A lot of theatrics from the plaintiff's Lawler.
I was hoping he was the the guy in My Cousin Vinny who was like stuttering and awful, and then they go get the other guy who didn't
never,
want Vinny.
Never seen it.
You've never seen My Cousin Vinny?
No.
Oh God.
That came out probably when I was like 5 or 6.
Yeah, go back and watch it. It holds up.
My cousin You'll champion, like My Cousin Vinny.
It's all about the South.
All right.
You love it.
All right.
You have to, you know, Aaron and I for one of the upcoming No Holds Barred. We're gonna talk about movies you've never seen. That's gonna be one off the.
Yeah, I got a lot of those. Yeah. I've checked them off the list, but probably I'd say the most embarrassing one was a couple years ago for Christmas. I watched Back to the Future, and that was the first time I'd seen that.
Okay.
This is like a year ago.
So. I got worse ones than that, and I'm saving them for Aaron. So check it out there. I got ones I'm going to get mocked on.
I think everybody does. I think it has to be old, too. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, so neither one of us have seen Infinity War or whatever.
Right.
But,
oh, no, yeah, older ones. Yeah, the ones I have are all
gotta be like, you have never seen the Godfather or something like that. You know, it's like, oh my God.
Right, big ones. And then like, I'd count like up to like the mid 2000s, right? Before we had
kids.
Yeah,
I would say, I'm trying to think. Like, if you've never seen The Hangover,
right.
I would say that's, something like that.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, now I know the benchmark.
There we go.
So, how have you been?
Yeah, pretty good. Being in trial now. Have you ever been selected for jury duty or had to go?
I came real close. This last time, I was like, I didn't get the cancel call. I was set to go, and then it got canceled like the day of or whatever. Or like the day before. Like it was real tight. Like I've had it before. They'll call you a couple weeks before and say they don't need you. But this one, like I was ready to go, and then I got bailed out. So no pun.
So I mean, they told me I was going to be there the whole week. So the first day they lead you into the holding room and take your information and all that stuff. And that was okay because I actually knew somebody from high school that I caught up with. So I talked to him. But once you go into court, you know, you're in session.
Right.
So you can't have your phone. You can't talk. And it's torture. I mean, they just ask questions. And, I mean, they were pricks in the courtroom. Like one old guy asked, like, what time is lunch around here? And they said without skipping a beat, lunchtime. It was like, Jesus. Fucking,
you know what assholes they deal with every day?
I know, but it was like Hitler's last days in there. I mean, it was like 1:15 on Monday before they released us for lunch, and my stomach was growling audibly. It was rough. So
didn't make the transcription with the stenographer? Your stomach growling. Juror number nine, stomach is rumbling.
Well, so that's a new development. I didn't realize that. It looked like she had like a gas mask on, and she's actually speaking it. It's no longer typing or any of that transcribing.
It's like the one like the thing like Roman Reigns wears to the ring?
It looked like fucking Goose and Maverick up there flying around the Top Gun type of contraption.
The one like the Dr. Gas, whatever, then fucking Roman Reigns.
Yeah, so there's quite a lot of politics in the courtroom, if you can believe that. But,
so now do you get like a stipend or just lunch?
You don't get lunch. No, lunch is not provided.
Oh.
So we were able to disperse. I don't know like the difference between civil and criminal. Mm-hmm. I mean, with civil, they said the burden of proof was not, you know, reasonable doubts out the window. But yeah, so I mean, we weren't sequestered or anything.
Okay.
We just came and then we went on our way. Yeah, okay. Like I was able to go to Pita Pit or whatever.
Did you talk about the case or no? Is that still
not during it?
Okay.
Like now, I think they said legally all I could say is we reached a verdict,
mm-hmm.
and it was not guilty. But I think that's it. Like we didn't rule in favor of the plaintiff for her lawsuit. So.
Right. Okay.
There you have it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do get a little stipend. I think it's like $3 an hour.
Jesus. You get paid though, right, from work?
We'll see. Yeah, so get this. So like actually this is petty, but I have to turn that into work because I'm getting paid, you know, regular through work.
Jesus.
So what they said was once you receive the stipend, turn that in to us because you're doing your normal pay.
Okay. They need the $36, I guess.
Yeah, so they'll be sure to collect their it'll probably end up being about $60 for the 3 days. Enjoy.
You're gonna love it. All right, so I went to Brooklyn this past weekend.
Yes.
Went to NXT. Did not go to SummerSlam. Took Jeff Fashada with me, so be sure to listen to Jeff Wins Wrestling. Did you get to check that out yet?
I did.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed the wool being thrown over young Jeffrey's eyes and some of the illusions he was hearing.
Yeah.
The slaps, not understanding the bathroom situation. It was quite a scene.
It was sad. He missed most of the women's match because he was gone waiting in the bathroom line.
That's like the typical male like misogynist wrestling fan, like take a piss break during the women's match. He's stuck in the attitude here.
I know. Although in his defense, I don't think he knew what the hell was coming next. So I mean, he thought the end of the show was the fucking Adam Cole match. So he had no idea. But you know, Jeff's an interesting dude. But there was some pure joy mixed in, so I was excited because you don't get a lot of pure joy from Jeff.
I would have liked to see the house show he went to as a kid that his dad, I guess, presented as WrestleMania.
I'm sure it was fucking terrible. Well, that's just a thing from that generation, right? Everything's just WrestleMania.
Yeah.
Right?
Going to WrestleMania, son.
Yeah, so but I was so I really enjoyed the show. That was a great show. I had a good time. Went to the KBH before. Had a couple beers and whatnot. So I was in a good mood, Chad. But I was annoyed by something I saw on the internet, and I'm gonna get in my soapbox for a minute. It was when Matthew
gonna show off some creative control here.
And I'm gonna storm out of the group when Matthew Riddle made his appearance on TV. There was a lot of excitement, you know. And yours truly even chimed in. You know, it was cool to see him. And then, you know, on Twitter and wherever else, like, this is like this immediate need to race to shit on people who may have showed excitement for Matt Riddle, but have not be too familiar with his work. So, I mean, I don't know if you saw any of this going on. Like, I saw some of it on Twitter. And it was frustrating to me because I think there's two schools on this. And, like, one I get. So, one is the fan who maybe shits on indie stuff or shits on, like, a Matt Riddle and thinks he's nothing and then gets excited. But then there's folks like me and others who were genuinely happy because I don't have the time to like watch a lot of other indie stuff. I barely even watch a lot of WWE, but I do know I either attend or watch takeovers and watch NXT, so I'll get to see him now. And I know he's really good because people I trust, like you and others, talk up about him. And, you know, to me, I compared it in our live chats because I find this get really annoyed. And, like, I in between matches, I took a minute just to write this missive up. And I'm like, it's annoying. To me, it's like a baseball prospect, right? So, like, I'd never seen Gleyber Torres fucking play in minor league baseball. Like, there's not a lot of minor league games on. I've never gone to a Scranton game. He was with the Cubs for a lot of his minor league career. And you know what, though? People I trust and scouts, like, talked highly of him, and I was excited when he made his debut, and I got to see him. Like, okay, so because I haven't seen Gleyber Torres play in AAA, I can't fucking be pumped when he comes up to WWE or to the Yankees where I can watch him. And it's the same thing. Like, I don't watch a lot of Evolve. I don't get to see it. I don't get to go to a live ones. I'm not in that point right now. So when he comes to a place where I'll probably have time to check him out or see something easily, I can't be excited about that. It's the band mentality. You never see Matt Riddle. Oh, now all of a sudden you're excited for it. Like, and it really just, I don't know. Like, what's your take on that? Because it really caught me wrong on that moment. Because it's like, God, like, can anyone just fucking enjoy anything without having to immediately get a shit on? It's like, if you're a Matt Riddle fan, you should be excited that other people now are going to get to see him and witness him. And again, I'm taking out the people that are, you know, have maybe shit on the indies or shit on a guy like that. And now we're excited because he's in WWE. But for me and others, like, that are in our group or elsewhere, I saw on Twitter that were showing excitement for it. It's really just more that, okay, cool. Now I know this guy's great. I've heard he's great. And now I get to see him more often. Like, that's cool.
So I'm conflicted with that. And I shit you not, when you started talking, I was going to compare it to, like, a prospect coming up for the Yankees. Because I do think that's a good comparison. And I think it's just sort of like what your mentality is as far as what you're consuming. So, like, I'm never, like, I don't know. Like, even when the Monday Night Wars was going on, I guess I was probably Team WCW, but I would say that was close. And growing up, I was certainly Team WWF. Like, up to the NWO, I watched way more WWF than WCW. Mm-hmm. So, I think the mentality comes sometimes from the fact that, I mean, it's safe to say that, like, our PTB live chats page is predominantly WWF-centric fans, which it's going to be. It's the biggest company mm-hmm. in the world. And when I see somebody like Riddle signed or whatever, I certainly don't take umbrage with his decision because he's going to be making more money, have more security, less work, so forth. But a part of me is upset, I guess, or selfish to a degree. And I do think part of that is, you know, like with the Braves this year, I've been following the farm team pretty close. Mm-hmm. So, like, yesterday Bryce Wilson pitched, and he was somebody that, you know, unless you're really into the Braves farm system, you probably didn't know who he was because he was, like, number 10, number 11, something in there. But he's somebody that, like, you know, at the beginning of the year, I didn't have a clue who he was, but now I've been following his box lines and box scores and stuff like that and his pitching lines and been like, oh, okay, and seen his progression. So with that, you feel rewarded because it's an ascension. Mm-hmm. I think on the wrestling side, it's different just because – you don't, I mean, I NXT takeovers, I love. They're consistently great. And even maybe the high-end takeover matches, like your Gargano-Ciampa mm-hmm. matches, are probably better than most of the stuff you're going to see on the indie, almost everything you'll see on the indies. But it is disappointing that, you know, sometimes you'd see like 2 to 3 matches a weekend, and now you're kind of holding out for maybe one
but you're
match a month.
You're talking disappointment in his decision, which is different from what I'm talking about, right? I mean, I'm just saying, like, why does your being disappointed that he signed have to affect me just being happy that, hey, I may get to, like, it's cool that he's here because I may get to see him. Like, it's, or just, like, not even that. It's just like, oh, it's a cool thing. Like, I'm here live and this big star is in the house. Like, that's all it was, and I think that's what people were saying. It wasn't like, I don't know. Like, I think there's a difference between, like, you know, getting to always see him, you know, wanting to not see him sign versus people that were excited to be there. It's like I didn't see many people rubbing it in, like, ah, fuck you, Evolve, Riddle's here now. Like, I didn't see a lot of that going on.
Oh, yeah, I mean, they're in bed with each other. I mean, I think, though, part of that is, like, if you're that geeked or excited, you just seeked him out before, right? if you'd have made room to see him before.
I mean,
you understand what I'm saying by that?
Yeah, but I think that's assuming. I mean, again, like, I'm not even saying I watch a ton of NXT, right? So, I mean, my like room for wrestling consumption is pretty low. Like, so to say I'm going to spend the money or track it down, and that was, by the way, that's assuming that some people hadn't seen him, right? I mean, that's like a, you know, whatever. But I don't. I mean,
yeah, I think that's a pretty safe assumption with the group we're talking about, though.
I mean, I don't know, not necessarily. Like, I know, like. Like, whatever, D'Amato, for example, like, he saw him live, like, 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And he's my boy now. He's one of the good guys. You're okay. still on the bad team.
All right, so I had to find time to go to some indie show somewhere
exactly.
around here when he was...
Exactly, okay. Exactly. We were all in on the secret, and you cannot be a part of it.
All right, I guess so. But anyway, I just thought it was kind of lame. It's like, you should want...
It's tough. It's very tough, because you're really seeing now the deterioration of the indies as we know it, though. I mean, like, Marco Stunt or whatever is booked everywhere. And it's like,
The well, I'll make sure not to celebrate if he signs. So I'll keep that in mind.
Yes, but, well, I mean, probably coming at this rate.
I think it was just more of like an in-the-moment thing. You know what I mean? It's like you're in the arena.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, if you're there live and he's up there with his sandals and his suit. I mean, I don't begrudge anybody being excited. And if you're generally, you know, if you're genuinely happy to discover somebody that I think's a great wrestler – I don't begrudge that. I really only have an issue with the people that won, you know, at like WWE's Superior Brand, which you spoke on. You know, like, oh, well, now he's at the good place, you know, like,
right. Oh,
that
I would agree
yeah,
with.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree with that. Yeah.
Or, yeah, I mean, that's probably the only, like, real big thing I have to take umbrage with. So otherwise, I mean, more power to you. You're probably going to discover somebody that's going to be really good. I mean, I think he'll fit in great at the Performance Center or wherever. I mean, I would think they'd probably jumpstart him pretty quickly, too.
I would think so. I mean, at the very, I mean, he'll be there for Mania weekend. I mean,
God, they have so many freaking people on contract, though. It's just crazy to think about. That's a whole nother discussion. That may actually be a pretty good, I don't know if we got the time, but like a one-off special or something like that. Because we are getting to the point now where like they are so saturated with talent.
It's like 98 WCW.
Yeah, you just can't find a room.
Yeah,
you just, I mean, like Chris Hero, he's basically enhancer on the loop.
Right.
It's just crazy.
And they got the time for it. I mean, they could, you don't want to see anyone get let go, but I mean, you know, they could really do... You know, for like just bloodletting at the top and just refresh. I mean,
yeah, I mean, I kind of thought they were going to do that where it's just going to be like Progress or Evolve was going to be essentially their a brand. Like they were going to be owned by WWE, but an independent subsidiary or whatever. But it looks like that's not the case. I mean, Evolve's still a feeding farm, but.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah. Even like what they used to do with ECW where they would send guys there in return, you know, kind of thing. So. Send a Ziggler to Evolve for a few weeks or a couple months.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. So we'll see. But yeah, I mean, happy for the brew.
Yeah, I mean, that, you know, that was it. Just kind of rubbed me the wrong way. It's like, God, it's like no one can even take like 30 seconds of excitement without. All right, we know. You saw all the Matt Riddle matches. We get it. You hate WWE.
That's a mistake looking at Twitter during any show whatsoever. I forgot how it came up.
I wasn't even looking. I was looking at something else. I forgot how I even came across it. It was whatever. It was. It came in front of me versus, like, me. I wasn't, like, seeking it out. I was either, like, in between a match. I forget what the fuck was going on anyway, but I came across something, and I was like, oh, fuck this.
I was informed Ciampa and Gargano was overplayed when we had seen, what, 4 high-profile Okada and Omega matches in the past 18 months, and...
We need long-term feuds, Chad. They rush everything. Oh, wait. Yeah. There's been a feud that's lasted 8 months and gone across, you know, oh, now it's too much. It's too much. It doesn't matter anymore.
So,
this is why I hate talking about current wrestling.
It is what it is. Well, I mean, it feels like it's gotten way more, like, I guess, territorial. I mean, there's such a heavy, like, weird WWE-only versus New Japan-only contingent that seems to be brewing lately that's,
I mean, it's just very toxic
on both sides.
It's just like everywhere with everything. Like politics is like that now. Like, you know, it's like
very polarized. Yeah. Like you're one side or the other.
Right. You can't just be somewhere in the middle.
Much in the middle. Yeah.
You can't be a Lion of Liberty, you know?
Right.
You can't be a Pats fan or a Pats hater, even though that's what I think should be. All right. So why don't we get into, now that we've spent a bunch of time talking.
Oh, my God.
Why don't we dive into our 10:30:95 week of TV, and like we've been doing from the start, Chad, the week after we do a pay-per-view, we're going to open with that show of that brand. So we did talk right. Halloween Havoc 95 last episode. So tonight we're going to start with WCW Monday Nitro. Do you want to set us up here?
Yeah, they were from Dayton, Ohio. This, of course, is the night before Halloween. So Pepe is festive. Mongo has a little pumpkin in front of him. He has a witch hat and wings. So all sorts of stuff decked out for Pepe today. They kind of did a rundown from last night, and they informed us that Macho Man Randy Savage was not there. He was hurt. So his scheduled matchup coming up versus Sergeant Craig Pittman, and he had been replaced by Eddie Guerrero.
Hmm. What do you think of that trade?
So that set us up. Interesting match on paper. We hadn't seen the Sarge in a while.
No, it's sad. He was on a hot streak, too. And then,
yeah.
By the way, what did you think of Bobby's awful denim shirt that he was there rocking?
Well, Bobby's tie was pretty bad, too. Yeah, this was...
Was it the yellow one? Was it the yellow one with the denim?
It was multicolored. Mm. It was not pretty. Yeah, it was kind of a weird...
I never got the appeal of... Have you ever had a denim like button down?
Yeah, Bobby sort of looked like Paula Poundstone. Yeah, it's a deep cut.
Yeah,
but,
super deep.
Yeah.
The my dad wears them sometimes. The jean button
a down. Denim shirt.
Yeah.
Is that an Italian thing?
No, I don't
Italians
think so.
Wear denim shirts?
I think it's just an
Likers?
Old guy thing. I don't know.
An old guy thing.
Or like it's like a he's like at his workshop a lot and like working with wood.
Oh,
and shit.
Yeah, it's probably more like mechanic, that type of vibe. But well, I mean, Bobby does
kind of a Norm Abrams thing.
Bobby does not fit that mold, so weird choice for him.
Not a fan of him. All right, what's our opener here?
So we got the Sarge versus Eddie Guerrero. We get a pyro for Pittman, which was interesting. Mm-hmm. And this was a pretty big
You think it was
match.
Savage's pyro and they just used it for him because they had it set
up? That's true. It could have been that. That was funny. Should have had like the, oh yeah, overlay when he came out. A lot of luminaries in the crowd tonight. Did you notice?
Who was it?
We had Randy Hogan, of course, the guy that looks like Hulk.
Yeah.
You know, that wears the yellow and the trunks and the whole regalia. And then I don't know if we know their names. Do we ever figure out their name? It's the pink and green nylon couple, you know, that always are at the mostly WWF shows.
Yeah, they I didn't even notice them out there. Wait, yeah, where was the show again? Detroit?
This was in Dayton.
Dayton.
So they were about, I mean, that makes sense because I seem to recall they were at like King of the Ring 93.
Yeah, they're also at WrestleMania 23, which is Detroit, right?
Yeah.
They were definitely
of course,
there.
Of course, Mr. Hogan was also at King of the Ring 93 crying when Yoko squashed his hero.
I did notice the pink, the neon.
Yeah, they had a bunch of signage during the show, planted signage. Got a couple of them coming up in my notes. But, yeah, all we needed was Vlad there to
round
the traffic. Green Lantern fan was slumming around somewhere.
Yeah.
Pittman kind of worked over the arm a lot. Looking for the code red. I thought it was pretty good work, actually. Eddie's a good seller, so that helped. But Pittman did enough to vary his offense, I thought. We got a line from Mongo that said, you saw Pepe had his wings on, and Eddie Guerrero can fly without the wings. So, there you go.
It's a hot take.
Where the big boys play number one came out from Eric, but I think that was the only one I caught tonight, so that was pretty good. They keep promising footage from Halloween Havoc. That's kind of their big hook for this show. The footage is on its way, they kept saying. I did like Eddie did a good spot where he did like a slingshot onto the ropes and then did a crossbody onto Sarge. That looked really good. Sarge came back with a belly-to-belly and a Guntridge power bomb, but Eddie is able to get the flash roll up and the pin to a really good pop, and they presented it as an upset. So this was only about 5 minutes. I thought it was fun for what it was. I'm looking at your rankings right now, and boy, you were generous today. I went 2 stars on this one. I mean, I enjoyed it, but take it away.
Wait. What I go? Oh, wow. Yeah. That was generous. Yeah. All right, yeah. So they call it to the Pittman beat Mr. Wall Street for this shot at Savage, and then gets Eddie.
right.
Very the mini tournament we had going on. I liked Bischoff's insight. Talk about Pittman wanted to take it to the mat. It was good. I liked the good, you know, usual kind of hard hitting offense from Pittman. I thought Eddie really matched it and hung with him. We get a lot of plugging for World War III here for the first time as Eric explains the concept. So that was pretty good. And then Eric and Bobby put over Eddie hard throughout this as well. I like the targeted attack. Pittman really battering and wearing out the arm. Eddie slipping free to get the victory roll. I thought it was real fun. Pittman and Kurosawa are my dudes in WCW right now. But it was a real fun match. I liked the offense. I liked the finish. It was focused. And I think Pittman was just real impressive. So I did go 2 3/4, which is probably a little high. But whatever. It's Eddie and Pittman. It's not like I went, you know, Shark and Norton 3.5.
Right. Pittman is, I think, less awkward than I remember.
Yeah,
he's smooth. He feels like he should have been kind of a gatekeeper type person that got more opportunity.
I would agree.
Interesting. I think that was it. Then we go back to come back from break. We get clips of the Big Shark versus Norton rivalry.
Brought back from the dead last week, and now here we are.
September 11th, and a clip of last week.
Never forget, Chad, the 9/11 Nitro. We never forget.
Right. Never forget. I still don't know what Zodiac was doing when they had their pull apart last week. And Bunkhouse Buck, which is interesting. I kept wanting to see if he worked like worldwide or something crazy, or if he just came there for that. But
right.
That'd been interesting. So that sets up our match, the big grudge match between the Shark and Flash Norton. Bobby is gone from the booth.
Yes.
Mongo makes a line of like, when you're that old and you got to go, you got to go. So he says that. There's really not much to this one. This is just kind of a beefy clobbering match, them running into each other. Probably the most striking development during this match is we see Bobby and Sonny Ono in the crowd.
Yes.
Now, this was a weird setup. So they were like, they had like a table in front of them they were eating from. Mm-hmm. They had a couple of women like serving them food.
Champagne.
And then they had a big candelabra in the middle of it. It was kind of odd. Norton does slam the Shark to the nice pop. And the action pretty much right after that spills to the outside, and they fight to the back for the double count out, which was a cheap ending. This was the first time, though, as they're wallering back to the back. We do see those WCW metal set pieces used as a weapon.
Yeah.
I know those will be used quite a few times coming up in our podcast here. So, I didn't think much of this. It was sort of a lumbering beef match, but I didn't think the shots were laid in that well. I only went a half a star here.
Yeah, I was making a snow on this night.
You were feeling the joy juice.
Look, if you didn't watch any Shark matches before this, you're not allowed to enjoy it anyway. So, he had some heavy offense to start. I like that. Norton battling back. I love the slam. I thought it was a fun power spot. Like you said, it got a big pop. I know it's just a lot of, again, I felt like they were really laying into each other. I'm a mark for the Hoss brawls. The Bobby stuff made me laugh. It was fun. I thought for a stiff brawl, the finish was kind of lame. I did go 1.5. But, you know, I'm down with two big dudes just beating the shit out of each other. And that's what I feel like this was. To me, there's like lumbering lame brawling, and then there's like guys actually smacking each other, and this felt like the latter.
This felt like the former to me. So there you go. You can be the judge, audience. I do like this because, you know, with Aaron George's system, like, he probably might rank this 1.5 also, but
right.
He hates earthquakes, so he's conflicted here.
Docket, yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
Imagine if there's a woman in it, then he'd really
give it to the man. Yeah. Where was Mean Gene?
Like he was off on this night.
He was.
Was he at Havoc?
Night off.
I'm trying to
think now. He interviewed Flair afterwards. on the right in front of the.
He was so distraught over what happened with that. He had
maybe he was disappointed. Well, anyway, Tony does the interview with the horseman here.
Well, actually, wait, one quick thing before that. So we go back to Ono. He gives Bobby an envelope, which he sticks inside of his shirt, which was interesting.
That's right.
He puts
between
the buttons of his shirt.
Yeah. You thought he'd wear like a jacket or something.
Right. So you put that in there.
Not great. But yeah, so obviously. That's setting up. I mean, that's actually pretty good that it's October 30th and they're planting the seeds for Starrcade.
Oh, yeah. And they've actually already been because on commentary, even the weeks before this, they were already talking about it. Hinting at it. Like Bobby, you know, even sneaking around. You have the Japanese contingent. Like, this is the first time we kind of see it, but they had been hinting at it. So, yeah, I agree with you. Like, they're really starting to hype the end of the year already.
Yeah, this is the first time we've seen Ono as like an actual on-screen character, not the referee of the martial arts match. But
So I counted him as a debut for when we wrap up.
Okay. Yep, that makes sense. I didn't mark it down, but yep, definitely. So now we get the Horseman interview, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was this was good. I mean, typical. I didn't think any great new developments here, but
by the way, Tony's jacket, what the fuck? It was like huge on him.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't notice it.
Maybe it was Bobby's jacket. That's why Bobby didn't have it for that scene.
Maybe. Pillman's out of his mind.
He's all fired up.
He is just completely bug-eyed out and gloating and having the time of his life. I did like Flair had a lot of his swagger back. Arn kind of repeats, you know, you ask for it, you get it, blah, blah, blah. I did like that he credited Sting.
Yes.
During the promo saying, you know, hey, we were actually kind of surprised you hung with us for that long. We didn't think, you know, a guy could hang with the Horsemen for 10 minutes by themselves. So that was kind of cool. But they seem to be planting the seeds that, you know, pretty sooner rather than later, they're going to be adding a fourth guy, making the Horsemen complete, and then wreaking havoc on the company as a whole. So that was kind of my big takeaway.
That was a great segment, yeah.
Yeah. We seem to be getting either Horsemen or Dungeon of Doom set pieces interview segments each week, and it's pretty clear which one is better than the other
one. Yes, significantly.
Right. Then we get our third match, which was Sabu versus Disco Inferno. This is kind of an odd match.
I wanted to call out the Saturday Night promo, the card for that night. Chris Benoit against Alex Wright, Flair and Arn against Renegade and Cobra. That's a hot Saturday Night match. And then Harlem Heat and the Blue Bloods going at it.
Yeah, for the straps.
Yeah, so big match. Yeah. Big Saturday Night.
That actually sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
You know, well, 2 out of 3.
I'm confident I watched it. I watched a lot of Saturday Night during that era. So
they should put that on the network. What are we paying for? The pink shirt guy, when Sabu came out, said he's WCW's Evil Knievel.
Of course.
So there you go. Pretty much some early springboard moves by Sabu. He had most of it cleanly-ish. Disco recovers with a clothesline, starts dancing, checking his hair, but gets too cocky. And after, again, this is another short match, like two or 3 minutes, Sabu comes back, hits the somersault for the win. I like the post-match better. Afterwards, Sabu continues the attack. Now, so Disco was on the outside, and you could tell, like, Sabu was wanting to do a slingshot from inside the ring to a Rana on the outside, but he doesn't get his legs. Like, he doesn't get Disco's head in between his legs, so he kind of just, like, crumples to the floor with him. But I like the camera angle where they show, like, Disco recovering from that and, like, wandering towards the back when you see Sabu coming back with the table. It looked really reckless and, like, he was out of control. So Sabu comes back with the table. He tries to put Disco through it, but Disco moves. So Sabu goes crashing through it with a somersault dive. Takes a nasty, like, did not look like the table gave much give.
No, it just bounced off it, really.
Yeah, and then Disco bails immediately and gets out of Dodge. As far as the match, I mean, this was okay, but again, 3 minutes, so I only want a star.
I want a touch higher, star and a half. Bischoff talks about next week's Nitro, says it's interactive. The fans will be picking the main event
Yeah.
from a mix of talent. Disco's, you know, I love his aloofness here too. And Eric also puts over TBS and the Braves winning the World Series as well as the Olympics. So we can wrap up our baseball conversation every week that Eric has. Because they've now won. So congrats, Chad.
Thus ends this section of the pop culture corner.
Yes, like, a lot quicker
wrestling
than
wrestling wars.
And then Bobby said he grills him about Ono and he says, "I'm just hanging out with a friend from foreign shores." Sabu really battered the shadow of Disco early. You know, I like Disco's off. You know, I thought his offense was fine in advancing. And then I agree with you with the aftermath where Sabu hits the seated senton. And this is a real force of nature out there, just like really just, you know, mowing through him and just wild. And I like you said, Disco checks his hair and dances off. And then boom, Sabu comes back with a table. And then that bump was real nasty. The somersault senton just bounces off of it. So. And then just go running away. So, no, I dug this, too. It was kind of the small, wild man version of the Haas match that I gave a star and a half earlier. So, whatever. Consistency.
Yeah. Do you have any notes before our big main event?
Nope, that'd be it.
All right. So, we get to our main event of the night, which is the newly formed Dungeon of Doom team of Ming and Lex Luger versus American Males. American Males.
We're American Males.
Now, Mongo had quite the line here. It starts off quickly. They go to break. They come back and they come back from commercial break. And Mongo's first line is, "The American Males have been kicking the shag out of him."
No, I think he said the bag, didn't he?
No, shag.
Oh, I put it down as bag.
No, shag. They're
kicking like the ball bag out of him, kind of.
Eric immediately follows up by saying his heart just skipped a beat. Like, because I don't know.
Oh, he's going to say kicking the shit out of him, probably.
I think rhymes with shag.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, you think so?
Well, that's how I took it. I don't know.
I thought he meant.
Maybe shit. Maybe,
yeah, because he was trying to say, you know what I mean? Like kicking the
maybe
shag
kicking shit
out
of him.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that works too.
Yeah.
Either way, not a
living on Mongo. The edge with Mongo. Yes.
I think that's what they said. Yeah. Like I think Bobby said that. Like, so the males are working over the leg of Luger. Then Riggs get caught with a double team. They pound away. This is where I wrote the note that it was going to be interactive. I'm interested to see what that looks like. Mm. The interactive Raw. I mean, Nitro. So yeah. We'll see how that plays out next week. I thought Ming's chops actually looked good here. He laid them in. They had some good crisp on them. Him and Lex worked pretty good as a team together. I'd say they probably worked better as a team than separately as against each other as opponents. Tag is teased by Riggs, but he crawls under Lex's legs and ends up making the tag. The hot tag from Bagwell was pretty good as he was firing away on Lex Luger. Then Jimmy Hart is distracting the referee. We get a pretty weak kick from Ming to turn the tide for the heels. And then Luger immediately gets the torture rack for the win. So this was a perfectly fine tag match. Mm-hmm. It was really the only match we got that got a decent amount of time. I think this went like 7 minutes. So I want a star in 3/4 for this one.
Yeah, I went too, so not too far off.
We're pretty close.
Bischoff just craps on Sullivan, calls him a con artist, manipulated everything. He said he manipulated Luger and Sting and everything else. I think Ming and Lex is a pretty cool team. We've seen them wrestle a couple times and they stick them together. The males have worked, you know, did a lot of arm work, and then Bischoff calls Jimmy a gutless maggot, which I liked as well. The crowd also chanted for Hogan quite a bit here, which I found interesting. We don't hear a lot of that in this time period.
Yeah, and this is in Dayton. I mean, it's a weird, kind of a weird town.
Yeah.
It's like one of those towns that I don't know quite where their affiliation lies. It kind of feels like a town that's kind of on the fence on whether they're going to become a WCW town or a WWF town.
Ohio
could
is
go
a swing
either way.
State, so.
a swing town for the war zone here.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to keep track of that like a wolf on election night. I'll be touching a LED screen and it'll be changing either with a WWL flag or WCW flag.
By 98, we're officially calling Dayton for WCW.
Breaking news.
I don't think WWF goes there much more. Like, I can't think of. I don't think any pay per views after King of the Ring '93, and I don't think
no.
It's a big Raw town either. So
yeah, I'm interested to see if they have any Raws there, but nothing's coming to mind.
I feel like WCW pay per view goes there.
Where did WWF go in Ohio, though? Just Columbus?
Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, Cleveland. Nah, who cares?
I think they go to Cincy, too. But...
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of places, actually.
Akron. All right, yeah. So, yeah, so then Jimmy runs the interference. Meng levels back. Like I said, a little soft, and Lex gets the rack. Some slow spots, but it's cool seeing Lex and Meng, like how they worked as a team, is unique and a good way to show off the new depth of the stable. So, that was a fine segment.
Yeah, this is okay. Go to break, come back. Mongo gives silly string to Bobby.
It's trick or treating for Pepe.
Yeah. Hi. Then we get this big footage they show, which was basically just clips of the main event finish, which we talked about the last show, so no need to go over that again. And then to finish this out, we get a Dungeon of Doom promo by Tony. Now, this felt a little like NWO 18 to me with the Dungeon of Doom contingent out here because we only had Jimmy, Luger, Sullivan, and Giant.
Right.
Like, it felt like we left the, you know, the B squad.
I call it the D squad, but yes.
Yeah, your Zodiac's
Shark.
Ultimate Solution, yeah. Shark, you know, Kamala, if he was still around.
The corpse those, of Kamala, yeah.
Those are left in the back here. So Jimmy says he was the poison living in Hogan's house. Luger called Hogan a pile of garbage. a lot of shitting on Hulk.
Giant has a title with him, by the way, as well.
Yes, so he has the belt key, here. Yeah.
And Jimmy says he may tell the world next week why he turned. May. He's not sure yet.
not much explanation by Jimmy, just for the hell of it. And then Giant says this line. He says, say what you say, do what you will, but no one will knock this giant off the hill. So he can rhyme. He's got rhymes, folks. He says he's not giving up the belt. And then... Sullivan says Giant will defend the belt next week on Nitro as we go off the air. So everybody kind of got a little talking point in.
And it was a cool little rub, too. Sullivan says, like, he warned Hogan that evil was in his house. You know, Jimmy was the evil, but he had warned him. Like, and he had been. Like, Sullivan had been talking about it. So, like, I thought that was kind of neat.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't bad. I didn't think this was awful. I do think, like, having these guys presented as the Dungeon of Doom was better than, I mean, certainly better than like the Yeti and some right. of the complete zaniness we've gotten. So this ended the 9-9. I mean, kind of a weird Nitro to me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, we got some development, so it wasn't like wasted, but it also felt like not a lot happened.
It didn't feel like coming off like a big pay-per-view. Like,
yeah.
Sure. Like, it did not feel that way. Like, I know they were trying to build and tease throughout the night of, like, check out the Havoc footage, but I think they should have opened with Giant, like, that promo, you know what I mean? Like, that was kind of a big deal, like, him as champion coming out. They should have just, boom, come out with that. And I don't think they figured out what the format of the show should be, you know? So I think they still are treating it like a traditional show, kind of, that's the main event segment. We open with a hot match and move on. But it just may have been something, like, to start the show, boom, like, here's what happened. Here's Giant. He's got the belt. Get everyone talking, you know, versus trying to lag everyone along. But yeah, there wasn't, like, we saw the Horsemen, but they didn't wrestle. Like, we didn't see Sting, no Savage. Like, yeah, so we're missing a lot of guys, but due to their depth, we still get Guerrero and Pittman and Sabu and, you know, Luger. Like, so there's such a deep roster that we're seeing guys, but it did feel a little bit weird. Like, a lot of the major players from the night before weren't really heavily involved.
Right. Yeah, it was kind of odd. So are we ready to get into our awards for the evening?
Yeah. Match of the night, I had Pittman Guerrero, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I went with that too, even though I was lower than you. But, yep, okay. That'd be the same.
For a moment, I had a Horseman interview.
Yeah, I concur with that. Really only felt like, I mean, I feel like the only choices you can have are that, maybe the Sonny Ono Bobby meeting or the Dungeon of Doom promo. So right. I will go with Horseman as well.
All right. MVP, I kind of cheated here. I just went with the whole Horsemen. I thought they were the best part of the show.
Wow.
I mean, cheap. Yeah, I know. I mean, if I had to pick one, I don't know. They were all really good. Like, Pillman was great being crazy. Arn was measured and really good. And Flair just going nuts at the end. So, fuck it.
I got to think about this. I don't know who I'm going to go with. I think I'm going to go with Luger.
Yeah,
actually.
Okay.
I mean, he looked pretty good in the tag with Ming and he was fine in the promo. Nothing exceptional, but he had two kind of things. So guess I'll go with him. I don't think I've picked him yet either, so Luger's my boy. He had a rough night at Halloween Havoc, too, so pretty good recovery for him.
Yeah, bounce back.
What'd you get on commentary here?
Bischoff says, when I say belly to belly, I mean belly to belly. Mongo said, I see you with that champagne. Pass that bucket over. Pepe needs a bath. He's the stuff you scrape off the bird post. You don't want to eat it, and you don't want to look at it either, Mongo said at some point. And then they're kicking the shag out of him was the other Mongo. When I got, and no shots fired. So we've last week we had a big one with the In Your Eye House battery, but none tonight.
Yeah, not bad. Ono was our debut. Yeah. No dropped angles, I don't think.
No, none that I saw.
And then I show the rating for this as a 2.3.
All right, so down.
So, no, a tick up.
Oh, okay, tick up.
Yeah, tick up. Last time I saw, I think they were at, where were they at? 2.2
okay.
Last time.
So, slight bump, but not a big enough bump from a pay-per-view.
Yeah, not a crazy bump either. So,
and then would you go for a final grade?
Final grade here, I thought this was kind of a middle road show. Mm-hmm. It still went by pretty quickly. But I didn't think anything exceptional was on it whatsoever, so I went 5 out of 10, kind of your generic baseline type show.
Yeah, I went 5.5, which has kind of been my, like, middle-of-the-road show. I've gone, so, like, I've only had one Nitro at a 5, and that was way back on 9/18. Since then, 5.5 has kind of been my low, so there you go.
There we go. I guess now we can move over to Raw.
All right, let's do it. Halloween episode of Raw, Chad. Where are we tonight?
We're still at, what, Brandon, yeah. Manitoba, right?
Yeah.
I like the theme. I thought they did a good job. I actually think they don't do this enough, and I enjoyed it. It was campy, but
but they intended it.
It was
to
fun.
Be campy,
they so had fun with it, yeah.
Did you like Todd's spooky voice in the opening promo?
Pettingill definitely does the Tony Schiavone-esque Halloween Havoc opening as Dracula announcing everybody. He's like, a good. I can't really get the cadence down, but it was entertaining. Yeah. Then we kind of go right into our first match.
Well, just to cover off quick, so Vince is dressed as a prisoner.
Right.
And King says he bought that costume a year ago, but never got to wear it. So it's kind of a nod to the lawsuit, which is funny.
That was very good. And then he also, now King's a doctor.
Right.
So he puts his little stethoscope or whatever up to his heart and says, yep, I knew it. You don't have a heart. So,
you knew he was
King
dying
was
to say
good tonight.
You know, he was dying to say he was a gynecologist.
King, I like King. I like King on this episode.
No, he was good. The prisoner stuff was real funny. It was good.
Like inside
a cell phone by Vince.
But,
yeah, and like, I mean, you know, he wore it just because of that, and you know, he told King to rag on him. So it was kind of a almost like an FU, right, to like the government, you know, that he got away. And it's kind of a neat touch for those that know.
Now, Carl, the Spanish announce team was also dressed up
yes.
here.
Yes.
Carlos Cabrera was a vampire. Hugo Savinage, the devil. So there you go, or Satan, whatever, take your pick. So now we're getting to our first match, was Goldust versus Savio Vega, the Caribbean legend, as Vince likes to say. Hot start from Goldust. He tags, you know, right as his music's like winding down, so mm-hmm. he gets the quick advantage there. Vega then is able to turn the tide, does some quick action, but he misses a charge in the corner, goes shoulder first into the post. There was a weird like fan club group of Goldust, like four
yes.
fans were
dressed, all
dressed up
yeah.
in Goldust regalia. That was odd, you know, for a new character. And they had the paint down pat. That
yeah.
was a pretty good effort. I don't know if they did a dry run.
You think they were plants?
I don't know. It was odd. It was kind of odd.
I mean, that's a quick turn from, you know, maybe you assume they were at
right.
the pay-per-view the night before and went out
yeah.
and bought the whatever.
Yeah. I definitely think, back to Nitro real quick, I definitely think some of the signs they gave the pink and green couple were plant signs. Yeah, it was kind of weird. Because Savio ran into the post, Goldust started working over the arm. Vince at one point just says Goldust has a RuPaul look.
No, he says a masculine RuPaul look.
So we're not making any –
Right.
No bones about what they're kind of going for. Some lame movie puns by Vince, you know, saying, oh, Goldust may be a box office flop and all this stuff. King had a couple of them too, but it wasn't as bad. It, at the end of the match, he says it's gone with the wind or whatever. Vega fires away, but Goldust keeps going to the shoulder with the boot. He kicks the shoulder with the boot, which I liked. Then the finish, which was kind of a weird pin where Savio was in the hammerlock position and Goldust just rolled him up, mm-hmm. which I kind of liked. I don't think they presented it well on the camera angle
right.
or on commentary, but I kind of liked it as a unique type finish. Mm-hmm. So I thought this was a much better showing from Goldust than what we got at the pay-per-view. I mean, I ended up only going 2 stars. This was only like a 5-minute match too. But I thought Goldust looked much better here and much more, you know, character-wise and in-ring-wise looked better.
Yeah, I want to touch higher 2.25, and I agree. Definitely looked better. A lot more King cracking on Vince throughout this. And yes, the movie puns. And the audio is very obviously dubbed yet again, like real bad. It's like real obvious. But the chemistry is definitely back. We kind of have that little rocky stretch with Vince and King for a couple of weeks, but it seems like they're back on track with the chemistry, which is good. Goldust was really aggressive tonight instead of the coy stuff we saw at In Your House. So I did like that, like you said. And we keep cutting to the announcers at ringside, so we make it feel live. King actually says he's a proctologist here, so not a gynecologist, but he's a proctologist.
He's an ass man.
He is. So you want to hear a funny story? I did. I have the ass man license plate hanging in my basement here because I – in college, the real Kenny Kramer did like the reality tour, and he came and they had like a trivia contest, and I came in like second or whatever, and I won the license plate signed. Okay. So I have it hanging, and today I did a video meeting for work. I was on video, like my whole team was like in a room, and I had it turned specifically so like none of the stuff would really show, and it was just like the blinds on my slider in my basement. And one of the guys was like, "Oh, it's kind of dark," because I was like right behind the light that's on the ceiling, so I turn it. And I'm not even thinking, and I turn it right onto the fucking ass man license plate. And the whole room just starts cracking up. And I'm like, so I turned it more, and it was on like the UFC Rousey poster. And it's like not really like a huge secret, like wrestling fan of it work, but not really well known. It's getting more with the Cowboy and Ryder, you know, being at every fucking event and all over Facebook. So like it started to leak out a little bit more, but. So in a break in the meeting, one of the women that's in the meeting is like, oh, so she must have said it's a UFC poster. It's a Rousey home that I got, like, whatever. It's like the official poster I have it hanging. And like she must have saw it and just connected it to wrestling. She's like, just like just announces it like everyone. I'm on video and like people are in the room and they're like, Justin, I just got an email. My husband's into wrestling. Raw tickets. If you want the email, I can send it to you. Discounted at the Dunkin' Donuts set. I'm like, oh, all right, thanks. Like, I was going to be like, no, it's actually a UFC post. So I just was like, whatever. I was like, all right.
This is the real stuff, lady.
Yeah, I think I just kind of smiled. You haven't seen Rousey fight. Don't you fucking talk about her.
Quite the dorm room you got down there in the basement between the ass man and the UFC poster. So you have the periodic table of sex poster anywhere hanging around.
I got the guy with the beer fucking quote or whatever.
Yeah, like the Animal House college poster.
So I turned it a little bit more, and it was on my Providence Friars Big East little collage.
Yeah,
my
wife that may be worse. So. Maybe worse.
Yeah. If you're a Friar fan, what do you mean it's worse?
No, I'm just joking. So where are we?
So anyway, back to the ass man. King. So Savio, the comeback was pretty good. Vince is all fired up. And then I like the finish too, but no, both guys worked hard. It was aggressive Goldust, and the sluggish paces are in your house is gone, which I really appreciated because that was awful. And I thought Vega was on point with selling his comeback. So yeah, I dug this one 2.25.
There we go. they go backstage to Doc.
Yes.
Oh, holy shit. He was freaky as fuck here. It was like,
well, he's painted like a pumpkin, so he was like all
he's
orange.
Painted like a pumpkin, but he looked kind of like Pennywise-esque. Like, I was getting some weird vibes from Doc. I did see a picture today. I think it was on the Our Vantage Point Facebook page of him where he just had, like, he was naked and had the Stars and Bars flag, like, draped over his unmentionables. That was less creepy than his face paint here.
My favorite part too is he's not even in the arena. He's like probably just in the studio in Stanford. So he's like the only one probably dressed up in fucking Stanford. He's got this ridiculous outfit on.
He like had to go to the parking attendant dressed up in that face paint.
Oh, like, you think so because creepy. He's like, he's not there, they let him just like wear like a little cowboy hat or something, you know what I mean? Like, no, paint your whole face like something. A fucking pumpkin, you fat fuck.
You could have done something. Do you want a balloon? No,
you look like a fucking pumpkin.
No, I'm taking it. You did not watch it, correct? That's.
No, oh, definitely not.
Yeah. I figured. Could have guessed that. Anyway, we get the big announcement from the main event at Survivor Series where it's no count out, no DQ, no time limit. Mm-hmm. And the Dot basically says, so that means there is going to be a winner. So thank you, Doc.
Yes.
And Vince immediately cuts in and says, to the back, as we see apparently a commotion was going on backstage. Now, they say it was between Razor and Owen. When we cut back, we don't see Owen at all. We see Kid kind of holding Razor back.
Yeah.
So I guess they had a little bit of a pull apart, Razor and Owen.
As the kids say.
Setting up the main event. We're starting the Karate Fighters tournament.
Yeah. Well, I think the tournament actually kicks off next year. I think this is just Karate Fighter matches. Like, there's no brackets or anything yet this
year.
One-offs. Yeah, there's one-offs. So it's Hakushi and Barry Horowitz, and Todd is doing a Howard Cosell impression. And Hakushi wins the fight. You know, he's doing that whole thing.
Well, Horowitz wins, and they edit in JR saying, Horowitz wins, Horowitz wins, on the Karate Fighters.
Yeah, so that'll continue. But I think 96 and 97 are the actual, like, when they
were
the
actual
bracketing
and stuff. Okay. I was wondering, because we did get one more coming up. I don't know if I made a note of it, but
yeah, they have a few over the coming weeks. So.
Okay. That sets up our second match, which is a straight squash match, Joe Dorgan versus Marty Jannetty. I didn't write any notes for that. I thought this was where I noticed the real canned reaction from the crowd. Like, it was really bad when Marty came out, just pandemonium is what it sounded like, and everybody was sitting on their hands. King does say the horse cigar won the Breeders' Cup, and then he says he looks like a lunch replace, which is just awful.
So, by the way, I got to use our knowledge. I saw like some wrestling like Attitude Era, like, you know, generic Twitter account got retweeted into the timeline today, and it had a clip of which was one we forgot, by the way, when we were calling out the history, but Stephanie, I think it was Stephanie and Lita, had the first ever women's main event on Raw, and I corrected them. I said no, it was Alundra Blaze and Bertha Faye.
They didn't reply. Smocked.
But we forgot about that one. So we had said Trish Lita, but yes, I had forgotten Stephanie and Lita.
That's right.
When Lita beat her for
2000.
The title.
Yep. Right. So, I mean, I thought this was just straight Squash City setting up Marty facing Bulldog next week. So I win a fourth of a star here.
Yeah, we find out about the Bulldog match. The arena was just filled with smoke from Goldust's entrance, like, throughout this whole match. A lot of talk about Brett and Diesel. We find out next week Brett and Hakushi will team up to take on Lawler and Isaac Yankum, the never-ending fucking Brett Yankum.
When I saw that graphic, I was like, oh, put it to rest. And they're still using the dentist jokes. They call, like, Yankum and Lawler cavity creeps. Just so bad.
Yeah, we thought we were done, but no. Yeah, so Marty gets to win. Quarter star.
I was pretty sad by that. That sets up a good interview with Vince in the ring. Oh, breaking news. The Atlanta Braves have just completed a sweep of the Pittsburgh Pirates.
There you go. Hot sports
news. You know, I thought when they traded Freddie Freeman, the season was on the rock.
They're back.
Breaking some balls, and, they're doing pretty good for themselves here.
I thought you were going to give me breaking news that Ohio is now a WWF state, but I guess not.
No.
still calling it for
WWF. Too close to call there. So this interview segment, I love this. I thought Cornette was awesome here.
Oh, he was on fire.
He's
Clarence
looking
is out
at
there, too.
Yeah, Clarence is out there. So Cornette tells Vince, you know, he's dressed in his prisoner's outfit. He said, yeah, well, you should get 5 to 10 for what happened to Bulldog in your house. And then Lawler gets in a line talking about Clarence Mason that says he's the best lawyer since McDivitt.
Yeah.
He actually names drops Jerry McDivitt in there. Cornette does this thing with a writ. Like talking about a writ, and he does this tongue twister that was just great. He was rattling it off, And to me, it sounds like they got a pretty good case here where Gorilla kind of fumbled the contract proceedings here and said the winner of the In Your House match was the person that would advance to Survivor Series. Bulldog technically won. He was just not the champion. And they talk about, you know, if it wasn't for Brett sticking his nose where it didn't belong, Bulldog would be the champion. So I enjoyed all this. I thought Mason, you know, we talked about how young he was and unpolished. You know, I thought he did a pretty good job here. Reiterating that once Cornette gives up the reins, so Mason kind of brings that point home and says he's taking legal action against Gorilla, points out that he fumbled his wording in the contract.
I review the contract and the tape of In Your House.
Yes, there you go. So he was the person that ordered the replay there that Bobby kept yelling for.
You think he billed Cornette for that? I'm going to have to bill you for the replay.
Tell your friends, order the replay. Then Cornette transitions into the wild card match, and I thought this was good. And then to send us home, we get some great Bulldog lines. I really wish I could talk like Bulldog because he's like, that's right, Marty Jannetty.
That's
you come
right,
dancing
yes.
and prancing back into the ring. No, he's just he's fucking pervert. He didn't say that, but
fuck
he
you.
just his cadence is very funny. So that brings out Marty, of course. He drop kicks the Bulldog, punches and elbows Cornette, and then it looks like he's going to attack Clarence, but I thought this was kind of savvy, too, where...
Right, you don't have to worry.
Yeah, Lawler's on commentary talking about, if you hit him, he'll sue you for everything that's your worth and so forth. So I enjoyed this segment a lot, actually. I thought Cornette was on fire.
Yeah. No, it was real good. And it did so much, right? It wrapped up In Your House, kind of puts the bow on that, preps us for Survivor Series, for after Survivor Series, and then also, like, next week's matches, Bulldog and Jannetty. You know, like there's so much in here that they really build into one segment. And yeah, Cornette was just on fire. The way he just brings everything together was, like, just so seamless and flawless. I think a big part of it, obviously, he's on the booking committee, so he knows better than anyone, right? Like, what's going on.
But he
really explains it perfectly. And yeah, Gorilla kind of, you know, has to play the straight dumb guy here in this one. But they really do a nice job of calling out what he fucked up and that Bulldog deserves a match. So he's going to get it. And I thought Bulldog felt like a star, even though he's just kind of standing there with Cornette and Mason just gushing and supporting him, like how he got screwed and how he deserves more. I thought it actually made him come off as impressive, too, to be getting this kind of treatment. So, yeah, it was a real good segment. One of the best, I think, interview segments we've seen on either show since we've started this.
These guys have been really, they've been really good together.
Yeah.
You know, in the program leading up with Diesel, we enjoyed the Cornette promo. I mean, him and Bulldog just kind of work where, you know, Bulldog's pretty good to like spit out a soundbite and it'd be effective. And then Cornette's just really kind of taking the reins and doing a great job hyping him up. Then we get our next tag match. Now, this was a straight squash. It's the Smoking Gun versus Scott D'Amore. He kind of waddles out there. Yeah. And Otis Apollo. You talk about low rent looking. I don't like throwing out the term indie looking. But
right.
Good God. Otis and
so you
DeMore
were not excited that awful. Otis Apollo left the Indies for WWE?
No, I did not.
So wait, what, did they call him D'Amore or was he...
I don't know if they even...
Rashner was his name.
Oh, did they? I didn't notice. I just know Vince loves saying Otis.
Right, so was his name Otis Apollo, or is it...
Otis Apollo was the other guy. Scott D'Amore was in the singlet.
Because I thought it wasn't Phil Apollo?
No.
And he kept calling him Otis?
Yeah, he kept calling him Otis like 10 times. He was huge. Unless Phil Apollo...
No, I don't think it was Phil Apollo. But I didn't think it was
I mean, that makes sense. Phil Apollo could have been at the Golden Corral eating buffets, but no Doink likes that. So, bringing it full circle.
So Graham has it as Phil Apollo and John Rashner. That's what Graham has. Let me check
Cage match. Yeah. Cage match has Scott D'Amore and Otis.
Otis Apollo? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know where Rashner came from. I don't know. They never really say the names. Like, he just starts calling him Otis.
Well, he says Otis all the time.
That's it.
But
that's
yeah,
all
he didn't
says,
really
yeah.
say Scott.
Because I noted that Vince keeps calling him Otis.
Yeah, me too.
So, anyway.
Anyway, this is a squash. Sidewinder ends it quickly. I was really close giving Ted to this.
I went down.
I went a quarter star, but it was close. It's a low end quarter star.
So we see the footage from in your house with Kid and the way he acted, and Vince says he was chided by Ramon and the members of the Dirty F fraternity afterward for his actions. Yes. And then we get a promotion of a new episode of Forever Night, which is coming up tonight.
Right.
And we also get an inset from Kid who apologizes for his actions and wants a rematch from the Guns. Right. So that's all. Yeah. Besides that, Otis, that was the only highlights here.
Yeah, Kid was kind of awkward in that inset. Not one of his better promos. But
I like to think maybe this was the impetus for Jay-Z and Kanye's Otis song.
Maybe. Otis looked rough. Then we get Brett talking about the Survivor Series match a little bit. Nothing real revolutionary there, just sort of hyping that up. We cut back to the ring as they're setting up our main event, and Lawler's mad that he didn't mention next week's match at all.
Right.
So I thought that was kind of funny. And then I think that sets up our main event, but before that, we get Barry Dudinsky.
Yes, Barry D, still in the house.
Shilling the cheapest foam-looking belts you've ever seen in your life. And I guess an 8x10 you get with it.
Yes, you bonus autograph pictures. So they ran out of tape.
Oh, autograph.
Yeah, they were autograph.
Did pictures. He say autograph? Yeah, well, now that's not that bad. Mm. Now I take it back because they were only $20.
I mean, you're assuming it's the actual autograph and not just the secretary at Titan Tower. Scribbling Razor Ramon's name. But no more. They must have ran out of the generic Coliseum videos.
Not showing those. Yeah. Don't get that as the add-on here. But, yeah, so Dudinsky's still hanging out. We also get a quick clip of Paul Bearer saying, you know, the Taker will return. We learned Paul Bear's going to be on the AOL chat tomorrow, so there you go. I would not have guessed Paul being that technical savvy.
You think every answer is a story, yes.
Oh, yes. That would be pretty good. So here's our main event. Razor Ramon versus Owen Hart for the Intercontinental Championship. Razor starts off hot, works over the arm of Owen. We get Cornette trying to interfere, but Razor slugs him down. Yoko comes to ringside as we head to break. After the break, Owen gains the advantage, sending Razor over the top rope. This allows Owen to work on top for a good bit, working in some spots, getting some near falls that I thought felt pretty believable. He hits a real good spin back spin kick that gets a good near fall. And then he applies a sleeper as we go to our last break of the evening. Come back from break. Razor gets the clothesline. Looks like he's going to be making the big comeback. Puts Owen up for the Razor's Edge when Yokozuna interferes. So that's a cheap finish to a pretty good match, I thought. And then I guess the extracurricular stuff was pretty quick. So 1-2-3 kick tries to come in and help out his buddy. He gets leg dropped and out of the way. And then we get Ahmed. Ahmed comes rushing in, comes up from behind Yoko. Another huge canned heat for Ahmed.
Mm-hmm.
But then he slams Yoko, and we actually get a legit pop
for that. Cool.
You could see the crowd going nuts. I thought that was a cool moment, good way to end the show. So as a match, I mean, this is a pretty good signature TV match.
Yeah.
Maybe a tinge disappointing, you know, just because it's so tough, like, to think about this through not looking – edit through modern eyes,
right?
You know, just because it feels like we at least get a good to very good TV match every week now.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this at 2.75. Yeah, so just slightly under with the finish and a couple of things. I didn't think Owen did a ton on top. So I mean, it was solid and certainly solid for the time and entertaining, but it's just kind of weird to look back at it on 2018. Eyes kind of retrospectively. It's like you kind of want more because you feel like with 10 minutes, they should at least have a good match.
Yeah. I mean, when you look at what they were turning out week to week, it's, you know, it's pretty good. But yes, comparatively, you would expect more from these two guys. We also get a crawl for the hotline during the match, promoting an update on Shawn Michaels. So if you want to dial in, Vince says he'll be back in action this weekend as well. So we get that news. Cornette caught a real hard shot when he got on the apron, by the way, too. Razor really dropped him.
Yeah.
I liked Yoko. You know, him and Owen still kind of running buddies, even if they're not really teaming as much anymore. So that's a good tie-in there. And then Kid just gets fucking murdered. I mean, they're making him look to be like a real bitch when he doesn't have Razor, like, saving him. He gets this fucking splattered by Yoko. And the Ahmed thing was real cool because we haven't really seen anyone because of Luger slam Yoko. Like, I don't think Taker did it. I'm trying to think if he did in any of their matches, but I feel like it's actually still been pretty protected. Like, Luger did it, like, he did it on the Intrepid, he did it on SummerSlam, he did it at 10, I think. But I don't think we've really seen anyone else slam Yoko.
Yeah, because, like, I mean, Hogan didn't before he left. Right.
I feel like Taker may have, like, a Survivor Series, but I don't think
Taker's probably your best chance. Yeah.
But I don't think he did. So it's been real protected. So it was cool to see Ahmed do it because we haven't really seen it in a while. I mean, Luger's, you know, the last time he would have done it to Yoko was 10. I don't think he's done it since. So it was neat. I mean, unless he may have done it, they had that qualifying match earlier in the year. So I don't know. Maybe he did it there or something. But anyway, whatever. No one other than Luger had slammed him. So it was cool because it's been protected. So to let Ahmed be someone to do it was a neat spot. But yeah, not much surprise was baked into this match. It was well worked and executed. It was sound. The crowd was into it. The announcing was focused. It was a fine Raw main event for a tape show. You know, not a go home or not coming off a pay-per-view. Just kind of in the middle. So it was good. It was fine.
Yeah, man, much, much improved Raw.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, way better.
Yeah, definitely. So let's get into our awards.
Okay.
Match of the night, I assume we're going with the main event.
Yes. Yeah. Easy choice.
Your moment of the night?
I went with Ahmed slamming Yoko, which I felt bad not giving to the Bulldog promo because that was great. But the Ahmed thing kind of, it felt like they kind of needed like fresh guys. And like this is a big one coming in and he makes his big first appearance. He slams Yoko. It was a cool moment. And then just, you know, I'll jump ahead. I gave Bulldog an MVP. Okay. Bulldog and Cornette. I'm going to give it to both of them. But I thought they were both awesome. The whole promo was awesome. But the Ahmed moment has felt more important.
Yeah, I will go co-sign Ahmed Slim and Yoko, and I went Cornette as MVP.
Yeah.
So there we go. Commentary lines, did you have any of those?
I heard you got that costume a year ago, but you never get to wear it from King. He starts at one end, and you start at the other, Vince said. I forgot what that was about for King. But King said, Halloween is the only night of the year Jannetty looks normal.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I had no shots fired, obviously. And no debuts.
Yeah. No debuts. No dropped angles tonight.
Nope.
And the rating for Raw, 2.2.
Oh,
so
okay.
Nitro gets the W.
Play drop. And I thought Raw was better. I went 6 out of 10 for Raw tonight.
I went 5.5, so okay, we did the same variance in our ratings. And it's interesting how when the other company wins the ratings war, they
I think there's a lag, right? So maybe people caught up on Nitro the week before or read about it, and they tuned in there. But I think the pay-per-view has something to do with it, too.
Like, oh, yeah.
Last week, coming off In Your House, there was some like question about what was going on with the title and everything else with Sean.
Yeah.
And then now coming off Halloween Havoc, the title's vacated. You know, so like, or not vacant, but whatever. Giant has it. Is he champion? You know, the Horseman. So, like, I think the buzz off the pay-per-views is helping. It'll be interesting to see next week how things fall.
Right. All right. Let's do our combo.
Okay.
Awards, and then we can tie both. So, best show we both going, we're going Raw.
Yep.
Best match, I assume we're going Ramon.
Yeah, I think that was the best, even though I had it tied with Guerrero and
Pittman and Guerrero. Yeah.
Yeah, but we'll go
Pretty weak. Let's see. Yeah, that's a pretty weak match of the week. I'd say that's definitely the weakest one since.
I think so.
Maybe since our second show where we did Mental Mission versus Owen and Yoko.
Right. Sounds right.
Yeah, so we've had about 6 weeks of TV that's had better matches. Best segment, are we going to do Ahmed?
See, now, I feel like we've done this a couple times where I have it for, like, best segment of Raw, but I don't know, like, it was Bulldog? Like, I don't know. Like, the Horseman stuff was real good. The Bulldog stuff was really good. Ahmed was really good. So, I know it seems crazy to say, like, we're giving Bulldog, or we're giving Ahmed the moment of the night on Raw, but something else the moment of the night overall. I don't know. Does that make sense? Like, I feel like we did that one other time, but I don't know. What do you think? I'm rambling.
I say Ahmed.
Okay. That's fine. Rambled for nothing. All right. Better commentary Raw.
I go Raw here. Yeah. I got Raw.
First time in a while. We had three straight Nitros for commentary.
All right.
So.
All right. Star of the night. I don't know. This is kind of a weird night. I don't think anybody really shined.
Not on Nitro.
I could go.
I'd say Bulldog and Cornette. Like, to me, they were the highlight. They were the strongest.
All right. Player. We'll do the combo. Okay. That's fine.
And then ratings
and then,
winner Nitro.
Nitro was the ratings winner. So they haven't won a ratings battle since the first show we did.
Right.
Head to head. So that's pretty good. They've tied a couple times, but they hadn't.
So real quick, we talked about this off air, doing like the combo pay-per-view awards for the month. So we didn't get to do it last time. Why don't we do that quick now for October? We can go back eventually, maybe, and do September. But let's do October now, and then going forward, after the second pay-per-view of the month, we will we'll go in and do combo awards. So I think, I mean, Havoc was obviously the best show.
Right, right, best show.
Best match between the two. Are we going to go?
It's the tag from Havoc, I'd say.
Flair and Arn.
Yeah,
I mean,
Flair. Flair and Sting versus Pillman and Arn.
Okay.
Oh, all right.
Best segment.
God, I don't know.
So for In Your House, we had best moment. We had the tag title post-match. Havoc, we had Flair's heel turn. I'm fine going Flair's heel turn. I mean, that was
the
best thing.
Yeah, Flair's heel turn. I keep wanting to say Yeti.
better
commentary.
Commentary.
It's kind of weird. I don't.
No, we
I
liked
mean,
Havoc,
like,
right? We really liked Bobby and
well,
Tony.
Well, I mean, yeah, the Havoc is just so odd because I've been thinking about that more. I've been simmering on that. I did like Bobby, but he was so like up for that show. So yeah, right. I guess Havoc. He was engaged, but it was just so like on a 10. It was a little overwrought, but overall pretty good. Star of the whole shows. I'd say Flair. Probably Flair. Yeah.
It was his night. Okay, and then we don't know who had the higher buy rate, do we? If we want to check that out.
I think I may have that. Hang on. Let me type this in, and then I can look. I think I have – yeah, it was Havoc. Havoc had a 0.6, and In Your House 4 had a 0.4.
Okay.
So Havoc.
All right, there you go. So going forward, we'll do that. I think Survivor Series is first. So after World War III, we'll do combo for November.
Coin sweep for WCW in October, easy. So no surprise there.
Well, maybe off air we'll go back and do September at some point.
Yeah.
In Your House 3 and Fall Brawl. So, all right.
Yeah, that could be closer.
Yeah, I think so, because In Your House 3 is pretty good. All right, that'll do it for us. Another fun episode, Chad. It was an interesting episode. It was good to see Raw bounce back after just that dismal one the night after In Your House. We gave it 3 out of 10 last week's. Bad news, though. Next week is kind of another dip down, so... Again, rocky waters until we hit, I think, the end of the year. So,
yeah, I was happy to see them have theming and a decent match. So, I'm happy today. I'm happy today.
Okay. Well, next week we'll look at the 9/13. I'm sorry, the let me take a breather there. The November 6th, 95 Raw and Nitro. We already know one match. We have Hakushi and Bret Hart taking on Lawler and Yankum, and on Nitro we'll have Giant defending the world title. So we get some stuff we already know. We'll get to that. Maybe probably not next week, probably 2 weeks time we'll be back, I'm thinking.
Yeah. This is kind of the first time Nitro didn't do a full rundown.
Right, yeah. Usually they have the whole card. Yeah. Well, they have the interactive match. They hype that too. So.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense. Okay.
So we'll cover that. All right, so that's all set up for next week. We'll be back probably in 2 weeks time. Next Monday, we have a Place to Be podcast. We'll be in the house talking WrestleFest 88 as we start to close in on episode 500. So check that out. Actually, kind of a light couple weeks for me, Chad. I didn't have too much else going on. I will plug the Greatest Song of the 80s tournament, which is in the throes of round 2. Those are going up each and every day. 3 polls. You're picking 4 out of 10 to advance to round 3, which will start the kind of proper tournament round. So be sure to check that out. And also just point you to Stacey's Divas Deep Dive, which dropped today. Looking at the story of Le Cool. You can see those Breaking Bad comparisons for yourself that Stacey and I picked up on. So check that out. I think that's all I got. What do you got, Chad?
You sure don't want to point the gun?
Anything you got, Chad?
I've got that.
You should watch Glow. And the podcast is great.
I've watched season one.
All right, check it out. All right, we're done. Smell the napalm. We're out. Everyone take care. Thanks for listening.
I'm on my song. Damn, easy and hope. Where the hell you been? Niggas talking real reckless. Stuck, man. I adopted these niggas. Feel them drumming them. Now I'm about to make them tuck their whole summer in. They say I'm crazy while I'm about to go dumb again. They ain't see me cause I pulled up in my other bins. Last week I was in my other bins. All your diamonds up, cause we in this bitch enough again. Photo shoot fresh, looking like